As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I am really happy to be here today, as always, giving us the opportunity to talk about things that truly have meaning and value. And today, I really hope that we can have a very honest and open conversation, one in which will allow us to take some insight away from the show and be able to do some honest thinking about ourselves and the world we live in. You know, we easily talk every day about racial issues, black and white, but there's another battle going on that does not seem to get as much attention. And I hope that we have everybody in place today so that we can have this discussion, because I have to tell you, I'm a little irritated. And I get a little irritated every time situations come up where we're asked to believe women, we're asked to give women the benefit of the doubt. And there are a lot of cases where we're asked to give certain people the benefit of the doubt. We're asked to give children the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they're too young. They wouldn't lie. And oftentimes, you know, I'm not a big historian, but I remember there being the Salem witch trials where a bunch of young girls, I'm not sure if it was girls and boys, but a bunch of young people who got together and lied on people who were odd or who were just not within the norm, and told them that they were being controlled by them. And people went out and killed these people just on the basis of these girls or young people suggesting that they had been, some kind of spell had been cast on them. And as a teacher, every time I heard a statement like, you know, children don't lie, students don't lie, it used to be a very scary situation for me. And I'm going to be real honest about some of the experiences I had in order to further the conversation so that you all really understand when you men, I believe, go through life hoping and praying they never have to prove their innocence related to women. Because it is almost a given that society must believe women in any case. If you look at the news today, and every one of the reporters and the women reporters, they just want you to believe what the women say just off the rip. You know, without any proof or anything, They said it. It must be true. Why would they lie? And one reporter today had to say, well, there were a few cases when women lied. And then the person would say, oh, well, that's very rarely. So when something rarely happens, that means it never happened. And so when you get that kind of mentality that because something is rare means that you can always believe what a person says, then that means that men are always put in a position where they have to prove their innocence. Instead of people proving they're guilty until proven innocent. And so I just want to talk about that today. And again, I'm going to give you a few instances where people said things that could have jeopardized my job. I remember one instance where a girl went home late and she told her dad, well, I was in with Mr. Deshay class. He was helping me with math. And the girl didn't get home till after 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. So her father was very upset. And then the next day, I didn't come to work. For whatever reason, I must have took off work. So when he came to the school and talked to the principal, it almost looked like I knew something was going to happen, so I didn't come to work. So when I did come to work the next day and was confronted about this girl, I had to think about, okay, where was I? Where was I? Where was I? Then I thought about it. I said, I was in the weight room lifting weights, and the principal came in the weight room. I had to remind him he saw me in there lifting weights right after school. And so what had happened was this girl went to some boy's house, was too late getting back home, and she tried to use me as an excuse. Well, the parent never did come back and apologize. You know, there was no apology coming forth. All them accusations about what I was doing with his child, you know, even though it had gotten to the principal, nobody came back to apologize. And so quickly, people jump to these conclusions as though young people don't lie, when young people lie all the time. Or when women suggest something happened, and they may do it because of money, any number of reasons, but to suggest that they don't do it. So, you know, we really need to ask ourselves, just like we want not to be penalized because we're black, men don't want to be penalized just because they're men. And to suggest that the other side doesn't lie is just like to suggest that police officers don't lie, judges don't lie, politicians, you know, so you really have to stop looking at the things or statements we make. And also, we have laws. I sent to everybody a group of laws related to the ages of consent. And if you're going to have a law, then you need to obey the law and not vilify people who go by the law. When you suggest that a young lady is a woman at 18, and then you vilify a man because he might date a woman who's 18, we as a society created the law. I, at 25, married a woman who was 13 years older than me. So we met each other when she was in her 20s, I would have been underage. So, you know, it is important that we recognize and see, you know, and again, listen, I'm a Democrat. So anytime something ugly happens to a Republican, I'm all for it. But I think we're going a bit far when we find people guilty of something and then we ask them to prove that they're innocent 20 years ago. How many people know what they were doing 20 years ago for them to defend themselves against an accusation? So we need to ask ourselves, what man can really protect his honor or his name when they're asked to do it 20 years from now and being asked to do it when women are going to be given the benefit of the doubt. D, I want to help you, ask you to help start us off, you know, and just, you know, I have so many stories when it comes to being, you know, somehow finding myself in situations where I had to prove things. And thank God they were never things that had to be proven in court. But to just suggest that we have this deal that women, we're going to give women the benefit of the doubt, how fair is that?
Hey, James, and hello, everybody, and happy Friday to everybody. I can't actually relate to the subject matter of I think I'm probably too much of a gentleman to relate to the subject matter of the honesty of women, and that's not what I want to do. But what I do want to do is talk about the fairness of one's past and as you relate to the present and the credibility that a person has as opposed to assuming stereotypical of what the person must be like. I tried to get a job after my recovery endeavors. About 15 years after I had gone through recovery, I tried to get a job as a driver. And during my usage, I had two DUIs. And that was 15 years in my past. And all of that was disclosed in the application. And when it came down to my interview, the person said that, well, you know, you have a history of drinking and driving, just like that. And I was floored by that because of my change in lifestyle. And this was right at the time, not to make it political, but this was right at the time that George W. Bush had been elected president. And in his past, it had been noted that he had tried the use of cocaine. And in his disclosure, his explanation of that, he said that as a young man, he did what young men do. And that was my contention, even without saying so. But the point of the matter is, it depends on who you are and what you look like will actually determine what type of credibility you have in today's society. So, but, you know, when it comes down to evaluating the honesty when it comes to women, I'm not in a position to do that. I like the ladies to actually evaluate that part of the conversation. Thank you.
Well, you know, that's and I think your case is clearly a case where this situation creates a problem. Because once you have distanced yourself from an event, you ought to be given some benefit regarding whether or not you are still that same person. And clearly, this is the same situation. We all know that as a teenagers lie about things they've done. They lie about things they haven't done. They, depending on whether they like you or not like you, they may seek to bring you down just because you're not giving them the attention that they want. There could be all kinds of reasons why teenagers would make accusations about their adult partners. And so when we just say that we're going to give teens or children the benefit of the doubt, or we're going to give women the benefit of the doubt, we really put honest people's lives in jeopardy. Joyce, what is your thought about this? And, you know, I'm really concerned about the fact that we challenge a man to prove his honesty 20 years from the date and willing to just, you know, I don't know this man well enough, but obviously he's been doing a lot of positive things the majority of his life, but we take him back to the age of 32 and say that because someone said he did something when they were 14, that he must have did it.
Are we talking about all these executives and the people in power?
No, this is what I'm really talking about more. There's a Senate, a man who's running for the Senate, and a woman has come out and suggested that when he was
he
was 14,
the one I know what you were talking about, the one that was holding the gun up. The gun up,
well,
and he's saying that he's so Christian. That's the one. The one who was holding the gun up and believing in the law. Right, he's a cowboy rider. Yeah, I believe he did it. Coming from the South, you bet you they did. He did, more than likely. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage for a young person who's 14 years old later to come. That those type of things that they have to deal with day in and day out, mental things. I am so glad that these women, and why you said give women the benefit of the doubt. All these people that they have, what they're saying, they have, these guys have the same MO. These are power people. People in power, sometimes they use their power in the wrong way. And white men has always been known to do that. Come from slavery. Hello?
But when I suggest, Joyce, that you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt, the other side to that means that you're going to assume that there are no innocent men. And every time a woman accuses a man of something, then he must have done it. So you have to be very careful when there are women who accuse men of things that they have not done.
Yeah, that's true enough, too. And then you do have to look at the nature of it. But what is happening now is what is being unleashed. It's those things that have been instilled and those things that those guys have been getting away with for such a long length of time. And now all of a sudden it's people are reversing on them, particularly white women. You know, they saying enough is enough. And it used to be they'd do anything to get where they needed to go and what they needed to be. Everybody want to be a star, they willing to do that. But it took that one young lady, and he blackballed her. But once this reporter got a hold to it, and he pushed and pushed, and now I'm just surprised of the people. Every day is somebody that we know and we're looking at who you really been respectful. And then the kick is they're not saying that they didn't do it. Only one guy who today, that comedian, and he's well-known or whatever, he apologized. He took ownership, said he did it, and he apologized to each one of the young ladies that he did that to. Now, that takes a lot for a person to stand up. Now, my Senator John McCain told this guy he need to step down. Don't even run for the Senate, because John McCain was telling him so many ways, you are already tainted, and you know that you did it. So you step aside and let somebody else take that position who can bring that position honor, because what it's going to do, the stink is going to follow him anyway, you see. It starts from the top. Look at Trump. Five women right now is at Trump. But what he've done, five females. This is your president of the United States. This is
David.
And believe me, I think she was the victim. It started there.
David, one of the things that I have a problem with is historically, you and I and everybody on this panel are aware that there were a lot of black men who died because white women said they did something that they didn't do. And so to suggest that women don't lie is to suggest that we don't have history that shows that lies have been told on men. Isn't it somewhat unfair to ask somebody to prove something that you suggested they did 20 years ago?
James, you're absolutely right. And what that reminds me of is just what we already know. If you are black, you are guilty until proven innocent. So it's the same thing there. And until they can make the proper adjustments to find out facts from fiction, then it's going to continue as long as we have people in power that do not have our best interest at heart. I know that's not the subject matter in this particular case, but it overlaps. And so, you know, we've just got to do better and hold people accountable and make them prove, you know, if someone is guilty of something, they're going to need to prove it. In the case of that 14-year-old young girl, and I believe it was like 20 years ago because the man was 32 years of age, well, you know, you got to look at the parents at some point, because why would a 14-year-old's parents allow her to be alone with a 32-year-old man. You know, that also reminds me of the Kevin Spacey case where apparently there was some young boy that he molested 20 or 30 years ago, and Kevin Spacey was trying to make this young boy drink alcohol. Well, where were the parents? Why would the parents put a 14-year-old boy in a situation with an adult like that without them being around? That just doesn't make any sense. And I know that, you know, the 14-year-old, I guess, was in a Broadway play or something, but there's still something called parenting. And I have to bring in and question the parents at some point.
And it's just a necessary thing that we need to be willing and able to recognize that people still do things for money. And when you have people coming up and suing people, and, you know, you have to recognize, I'm just talking about fairness. Things, your career and your lifestyle should not be ruined for the statement of a few people without there being some kind of proof put forward. And so, Cheryl, you know, here we are with what we should be calling gender bias. Because if women are to be believed or given the benefit of the doubt, then that's a bias. So therefore, when, you know, that is to suggest that there have not been times when women said something happened that didn't happen.
Good evening to everyone, and how's everyone doing? I truly understand what it is that you're saying, and I believe that every situation is case by case. We can't generalize one situation over another. And I know a lot of times we wonder why, you know, women don't say anything. I'm just going to come out and say my own self-experience. It happened to me. And till right now, didn't nobody know. And the reason why is because when you're young, you feel like, what have I done? How did I get in this situation? You know, you're made to feel guilty. And over the years, you're too afraid to say anything because you feel like it was your fault. So, and when you talk about parents, my parents were there. It was, I was on my way to school. So, you know, that's why I say each situation is case by case. And, yeah, we've heard a lot of situations where it was, you know, white girls accuse black guys of something that they really didn't do. And it was mainly behind the parents didn't want, you know, to see them with them. But, you know, when you're talking about today and these famous individuals, when you run for or you become in the public eye, you do have to realize everything that you've done in your past is going to be scrutinized. You're going to have to realize, you know, that anything is going to be brought out and everything is going to be brought out because there's going to be, you know, investigations. There are going to be people talking, people who feel like you shouldn't be in office, whatever the situation may be. So if you've done anything, you know, of this magnitude, it would be in your best interest to really sit down. Because if it's really found out, and, you know, when I say being molested, this can happen both ways. Because young boys are molested and don't come out and say anything, and it affects them, you know, the rest of their life. And when you have a person that is vindictive and do things repeatedly, you're going to reap what you sow. And whether you can approve it, you know, 20 years later, then that's up to you. Because we should not lead a life where we have to be investigated. You know, that's just like I tell my children, and I do the same thing too. Let somebody know everywhere you are. Even if you are at the gym by yourself. Because my son has gone to the gym, you know, by himself. And I make him FaceTime me. I need to know. You know, we got to have things, and that's just the way it is. You know, we got to protect ourselves. And it's sad that we have to do that, but we do. We have to be accountable for every minute of our life, whether it come back on us or not. And I do it mainly for safety reasons, because anything could happen and you can be from one place to another. But, you know, I just say that each case has to be dealt with individually. We can't generalize it and just so commonly say that, you know, this 14-year-old all of a sudden. And it could be that it might not be true, but it can very well be that it is. And she should not be held, you know, for those who have lied before. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just how I feel about it.
All right. Tyrone, what are your thoughts related to, again, the world or society suggesting that women should be given the benefit of the doubt? That somehow just they only come forward when they have no other choice. They only tell the truth.
Well, first of all, good evening. And again, thank you. Thank you, James, for your commitment to subjects like this. I feel so honored to be a part of this. I think about Bill Cosby. That was just a setup. That was a setup. That man just didn't do. I don't believe he did that. In fact, they found out that there were people who, there were women who were actually paid money to say that Bill Cosby did certain things to them. But I believe in this situation, I believe that this whatever he is, this guy running for senator, what's his name, Moore, I believe he's guilty. Yeah. I really believe that. And the reason I believe that is, it's like the chickens are coming home to roost. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. This is the year of exposure. We're going to see things that we had never even dreamed about. We're going to learn about things that we just never even thought about that could be so. And you talk about a racist state of Alabama. We talk about some of them same folk who put over 1,000 black men in jail, planted guns on them, planted drugs on them, and it didn't come out for 20 years. And so I'm thinking that this little girl, I mean, I don't think women just put themselves up to say that, you know, certain things happen to them. I just believe that at some point they have a revelation or whatever, and it's, you know, they make a decision. They're going to come forth. These are the kind of people, this Moore guy, he's the kind of people who have been taking advantage of people for years, taking advantage of young women, taking advantage of black people. And as Joyce said, I think it was Joyce who said that, let's go back to slavery. White men have been raping our women and still raping our women in corporate America now. When I say rape, it doesn't have to be physical. It could be, it could just be bullied. It could be just tell a person they're going to lose their job or whatever. They're still doing those kind of things. And I really believe, and another reason what makes me believe that, there's too many Republicans who are coming out and demanding that this man get out of this race. There are too many. And so you don't just put together a story like this, and then you got all these Republicans, I mean big-time Republicans, who are saying, listen, I think for these allegations, I think you need to get out. Because those folks, they know the kind of person. Those people in Alabama, those politicians and lawyers and judges, they have gotten away with murder for many, many years. And as I said, the chickens are coming home to roost. This is the year of exposure, and we're going to see things that we never even thought. So get your popcorn together, because you're going to see lots and lots of things. I'll shut up and come back and add some other things to this.
Well, I'm going to share this before I go to Audrey, because, again, I'm trying to get you all to understand, you know, we believe that human beings can be dishonest. But then when we break human beings, separate human beings, we want to give certain human beings more of the benefit of the doubt than we want to do others. And that's kind of what I'm talking about today, is that when you're talking about somebody's career and their life, you should not just give a person the benefit of the doubt just because of their gender. When I was working at the jail, I had a situation where I came to know one of my students. And one of my students told me a story where he got involved with a woman who was being beaten by her husband. And he came to the rescue of this woman and her child and gave them a place to stay. Eventually, this woman got a divorce, and he and the woman got married. And he was a drug dealer, okay? And he did illegal things. And he left home one day to go down and make some money in Miami. And he got caught in Miami for doing something. And then she didn't know where he was. And she didn't know where he was for quite a while. And he then got transferred back to Orlando to face some charges in Orlando. Well, during his absence, this woman drummed up that she had been domestically abused by him and started the case of taking his home while he was in jail. So when he went to court on the charges of domestic abuse and she gave the date that he was domestic, had abused her, the date, one of the dates was when this man was in jail. So had he not been in jail in Miami, she would have made those people believe that he had abused her and that she had the right to get a divorce and to take his house while he was being locked up. So,
but James,
when
when
you suggest by a woman's very nature that she doesn't lie, you subject innocent men to your doubt.
But you have five or six different women here with, and they all, each one of them have a story. It's not like they came together and concocted their stories together. They each have a different story about this man. So maybe he didn't do anything to the 14-year-old. But what about the other five or six women?
All of those women also. But listen, that's why I sent you the age limit. Each of those women, if he had done something to them, that was over the age of consent. See, that's what I'm saying. The only one they point to as being illegal, most definitely, is the 14-year-old. In the state of Alabama, consent is 16. So even if they can't put anything on those other ones. They should a man somehow have less credibility on his face just because he's disagreeing with a woman? Andre?
Well, Fantastic Friday to everyone. And James, I didn't get a chance to hear all of the information up front. I came on and I thought I heard Ms. Cheryl expressing an experience that she had gone through. And if it's related to the topic that we are talking about today, let me just first of all say I surely regret, Ms. Cheryl, that you had to experience that because once that's experienced, that's a mental impact for the rest of your life. And, James, I would venture to say that I think it was Brother David that mentioned that, we have to actually find out, you know, the whole situation. And someone else said that it's an individual case by case. And I agree with that because as it relates to a female being always considered, you know, right, I think the situation kind of depends on each individual. I would venture to say the example that you shared with us about that young lady was unique. And I think part of that uniqueness was
her experience with her first husband was a negative impact, and it sounded like since she didn't know where her present husband was, she was in survival mode. Maybe she wasn't making the right choices, and I'm surely not advocating that she was doing correctly. But I do say that you have to recognize that when people are accused of things, unfortunately, our system isn't designed innocent until proven guilty. The law may say that, but if indeed you are of color, it don't necessarily apply, because if you think back in history, someone mentioned about the slavery time, and in most cases, white females accused a black man incorrectly, of course, but of them raping them and that type of thing. And if you think about it, that was brought to people's attention in a short period of time. What we're seeing now, and Brother Tyrone, I think I agree with what you statement you stated, that we're going to see more and more. And Joyce mentioned the word, it's just everything is being unleashed now. People are coming forth just this strong. What I think happened was, people were experiencing holding in these thoughts and feelings and understood that that was just the way it was if indeed they wanted to be promoted, advanced, or reach their goal, right or wrong. And we can't judge anyone for making decisions for themselves, but they accepted it. And once someone had the strength and the courage to come forth, like I said, these are different women coming from different places, and not that they got together and coming together as a team, but they're actually reciting some of the same things that happened, which means that this was just his motive. This was his MO. I think he's guilty, and it's not that I'm just going on the women, you know, the women's side just because the woman said it. I'm not saying that, because too many of our brothers are incarcerated unfairly and unjustly, so I know that's not the case. But I have to remind us all that when it's an issue at hand, you know, the system is not blinded, black and white. So the bottom line of it is we can't compare one scenario to the other, because we're not comparing apples to apples.
All right, we have a number that I'm not familiar with, so I want to give you an opportunity to get in on the discussion. 2251, 2251, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Name's Black Gladiator, calling from Washington, D.C.
All right. What are your thoughts in regards to giving women the benefit of the doubt when they're saying, making these statements about things that allegedly happened, and putting men on the defensive to prove that they didn't do certain things?
Well, I think that I have a lot to say, so if you can just excuse me for a moment. I think that a lot of women use their sex appeal to get ahead in life. That's all women, you know what I'm saying? I believe that women would use their sex appeal, you know what I'm saying, to get ahead in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's not something wrong with that at all. But what I am saying is this. Women, some women take form into their own rate. Because some women like to play older, like some women like to date older men. You know what I'm saying? I know some women that date older men, you know what I'm saying? And that's a form of rape, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of times I just think that when it boils all down, when it comes to law, the women and everything like that, the whole subject that we were talking about, I think that these women, I think there's a conglomeration of things that affect women, and that when we talk about giving them the benefit of the doubt, what we're basically saying is ease up on them and let them go. But I'm with you. I don't believe in no benefit of the doubt. That's like telling me that a woman has a self-worth issue. You know what I'm saying? What is that? You know what I'm saying? A lot of women walk around with self-worth issues, not trying to get off topic, but they walk around with self-worth issues, or they like you say, they say give them the benefit of the doubt, or give the child the benefit of the doubt, when at the end of the day, we all are the same on this planet, you know? So my opinion on it is that a lot of women use their sex appeal to get ahead in life, you know, and a lot of women take form into their own rate.
I understand what you mean by them using what it is that they have, but that doesn't mean that we want men to feel like they have the right to take advantage of them. But at the same time, we don't want, I know as a man, I don't want to feel that I always have to prove myself innocent when it comes to anything that a woman says. I want there to be recognition that women lie just as well as men. But somehow or another, we've gotten to the point where people want to suggest, for whatever reason, that women don't lie. And David, history has shown that women can and will lie under certain circumstances, but yet now in the 20th century, when they come out, we want to suggest that, you know, again, I go back to the witch trials in Selma, where all these kids got together and decided that they were going to act as though they were under the spell of some odd individuals in town, and people got burned to death. And so why are we suggesting that groups of women have not came together on an issue and there not be truth in it, and they not be capable of lying?
James, are you advocating that males don't lie?
No, I'm not. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm saying nobody should be given the benefit of the doubt. I'm saying everybody who suggests something, it needs to be proven. And that there should be some punishment for lying. Because if there's no punishment for lying, then I can lie and don't worry about getting punished for it.
I think we would all agree with that. But when you pose the question that, you know, women should be taking, you know, just taking for granted that they're telling the truth, then that would lead me to believe that you were saying that males would not. So I'm glad you clarified that. And I think that supports what we're saying, is that it's an individual, you have to look at it case by case. And you're absolutely right. If we don't have any rules or regulations as a penalty for being, you know, untruthful, then yeah, we'll be in a chaos. But even with that in place, I still go back to say that even though you can have a penalty for telling the untruth, we have a lot of our brothers and sisters in prison, and it wasn't because of the fact that a person was truthful, and yet nothing was done.
And that's my concern, too, D, is when you set up a precedent where you believe one group of people over another, we have to remember that in that people, you could say, your mother could say, well, he was here watching TV, and a prostitute said, well, what do you expect his mama to say? She loves her son, so she gonna lie for her son. And see, that's what we don't want, that situation. Everybody should be given the same level of belief until there's something that overrides it and favors it to the other person. But on the face of it, no one's word should count more than the other.
Okay, so are you saying that when an innocent person is pulled over for no apparent reason and because of a police officer making some poor judgments and decisions, that, you know, nothing should be done about that when a person end up losing their life just because they may have a light that's out or something like that, and yet that officer...
I'm suggesting that a police officer shouldn't be given the benefit of the benefit of truth just because he's a police officer. That a person who, like when the woman was in the car with the man who was shot, her word should have counted just as much as the police officer's word until there was something in the evidence that gave one more prudence than the other. So when she suggested that he wasn't going for a gun, that he was going just for his wallet, and that he told him to go for his wallet, then that should have been believed just as much as his belief that he was going for his gun.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the reason why I gave you an example like that, because it's not just that we think that women are more believed automatically or whatever. My focus or my point of it is we have a lot in which we need to correct and verify, because we've seen and experienced that, we've heard it in the news, and yet we do not take action enough to prevent it from happening, because we can name scenario after scenario after scenario that something similar happened. So my point of it is it's not just that women are believed more often or whatever the case may be. We have a lot of issues that's not being handled fairly. So it's not just about the women or anything like that. We have a lot of situations that's not being handled fairly. And that's what we need to look at and keep our eyes and focus on.
Tyrone, let's even go back to the Kobe Bryant situation and what happened with Kobe Bryant, and that until there were things to discount what this woman said, people were under the belief that Kobe raped this woman, and that there were no until these negative things came out about her trustworthiness, he may have very well been on his way to jail.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but this is a totally different situation. And I think most of the public did not believe that Kobe had raped that woman. First of all, she didn't look like very much to be talking about raping her. And this man has, you know, he's a superstar, and I mean he's got tons of women all around him. But I understand what you're saying. But I don't know, for whatever reason, I just believe that this Moore guy, I just believe he's guilty. That doesn't mean that he is, but I just believe that. And you got I don't know, five or six different stories. This guy has his track record is not too good. He's had problems in the past, and I don't know necessarily whether he had problems with women or taking advantage of women. He probably did, but the kind of things that they get away with and have gotten away in Alabama is going to be exposed. And it's being exposed now. And as I said, the chickens are coming home to roost. And this is the year of exposure. And we're gonna see things and hear things that we never even thought we were going to hear. And if you got that many Republicans who are telling him or suggesting that he step down and not run for that Senate position, because even if you run and win, the Congress doesn't have to accept him. Because I mean he's got a bad mark already. I mean he's damaged, but this guy has done so many things, and so you know we may not ever know. I think we're going to find out. I think they will be able to pull this story together to verify what this young lady is saying and the rest of the other people, because I think I heard something and I didn't get a chance to. Review what you said. You had sent some stuff. I didn't get a chance to review that. I saw something. I think maybe it was last night. I saw it on CNN or MSNBC. They're able to collaborate information that he said he didn't even know this young lady, and they know for a fact that he was in the court with the young lady, and he told the mother that he was going to take the young lady and do whatever
what they collaborated was that the mother had a court date during that same time he been there. They didn't collaborate that he took the child into his office. They only collaborated that he did have a court date that day.
But he lied and said he never knew that child. He never met her, and that's how they collaborated, that he was in the courtroom with her. And also,
he wasn't in the courtroom. He was at the courthouse. See, that's what I'm saying. We need to really. He was at the courthouse. Her mother was doing was in a fight for child custody, and he was not given control over the girl. He didn't have control over the girl. She's saying that he did that. Now, I don't know if that happened or not, but that ended up itself doesn't mean he molested her. And then I'm getting you talking about 20 years ago.
But how can you lie and say you don't know the kid? You've never seen the kid.
But I'm saying I met a lot of children. I know you can accuse me of doing something with a child that was in my classroom 20 years ago, but I may not remember the kid. 20 years ago is a long time to remember a person.
He remember that child because he know what he did to that child. So he remembers her. It's gonna come out, brother. I'm telling you, this is the year of exposure. So Mr. Trump and all his boys, you know, you see all this stuff coming out? This is not an accident. This is the year of exposure. A lot of these ministers and preachers and all the things that they've done, this is the year of exposure. And a whole bunch of other things. Police officers, police department, this is the year of exposure. We're going to be seeing things and hearing things that we never thought we would hear, see, or experience. And that's what's happening right now.
Well, Cheryl, let me ask
everything.
Okay,
go ahead.
Cheryl, you have a son that's in college, and we know that all kind of things happen to students in college and all kind of things. Now, do you want your son or think your son should be at the mercy of a statement a girl is willing to make, and he may not have did whatever she accused him of, and that just on the surface of what she says that he might somehow be persecuted or kicked out of school?
No, I wouldn't want to see that to happen. That's why I'm always cautiously, you know, talking to him and telling him how to conduct himself. And like you said, I mean, it can come up where they can accuse him of something that, you know, he may not have done. But that's why I say that each situation is case by case, because we have to look at the reputation of the person. We have to look at the credibility of the person. You know, we have to take all of those things into consideration when we accuse somebody of something. But no, I definitely would not want that to happen. And you know, they're on both sides, men as well as women, you know, because I'm going to speak for women. We women can be very, very fair and can be angry when we don't get what we want to get. You know, oh, you don't want me, you want somebody else. You know, and I'm just being honest. But the same thing could happen with men that use their power, because what it is control. It's the power, you know, that they do when these young women are raped or whatever it is. And a lot of times it's somebody who, you know, they befriended, somebody who they trust, because they're grooming this person, especially younger people. So, I mean, it can go both ways, but I still say it's case by case.
Yeah, and, you know, I just, there's something said about women and, you know, there's no greater evil than a woman scorned, or no, something about a woman scorned.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
just didn't come out, that didn't pop out of the air. You know, there's something to that stereotype suggesting that you ain't had no trouble till you don't scorn a lady. And one of the first things we think about, we go back and think about the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who went through that. And you understand, when I first thought about it, and I said, this is a woman scorned, that this man didn't marry her, he married this white woman. And if you don't think that's enough for her to be angry, I'm not sure if you're looking at it realistically. Now, maybe that wasn't the reason why she was angry, but that is a reason. Some women have gotten angry when they have been gotten dismissed and somebody else got picked up. So we have to be honest and realize that people do things for all kind of reasons.
Yeah, and you're right. I think when it comes down to this topic, though, I think the equilibrium of this subject matter is what Ms. Cheryl just said. It always boils down to a person's reputation and their credibility when it comes down to taking somebody else's account versus somebody else's account. You know, even when in my own case, when the man said to me that it looks like I had a history of drinking and driving, even though that I felt that I had found redemption in my life and I chose to turn my life over, when it comes to his point of view in reference to the company trying to protect their interests, I had to accept that it is what it is and move on. So a person's credibility has to come into play when it comes down to one account versus another. When it comes down to the collaboration of a person coming forth when it comes down to being mistreated by men, when the ladies come together in that way, Miss Audrey mentioned that, you know, sometimes these things get pushed back. Especially when women have a history of not wanting to be believed about the account being said, about the attack or the abuse. But in Tyrone's case, you know, when he said that this is the year of exposure, you know, the Weinstein guy and Swayze, the new act, the actor, all these accounts are coming out now. Everything is coming out, and it's actually due to the Donald Trump era. You know, when these women stood in the rain in Virginia to say that we've had enough. A lot of Republicans now they admitting that they thought wrong. So yeah, everything is going to come out, even in Alabama. You know, where this same guy has a history of sleaziness. But there are other Republicans that say, look, we're not going to latch on to you no more. What you did, and we're going to separate ourselves from that. So, yeah, this is a year of exposure, and thank you for letting me share that.
Joyce, let me ask you this question. You know, when we're taking the consideration of the Hollywood, shouldn't we also take into consideration that in Hollywood they do a lot of strange things? Now, they're accusing these men of all these strange things, but how about the women participating in these strange things voluntarily? These things are just not going on in a vacuum. There are a lot of women participating in this stuff voluntarily. So why is it being suggested that somehow it's just the men interacting in these behaviors and that it wasn't a loose lifestyle that all of men and women were living?
Because the women who was doing this voluntarily, you're not hearing them come forward and they're not speaking and they're not talking up. The people that you're hearing and the ones that are coming up now are the ones that who have lived with this day in and day out within themselves, and they have just gotten strong enough to this point where they can speak out and say, this happened to me too. Now, you got to realize, too, that it's power that you're looking at, power and influence. Now, you wanted to say that this young 14-year-old, you know, should have been speaking up. When we take a look at that, when she's 14, she's scared to death. Who is she going to tell that to, you see? You know, and then sometimes it takes a lot for them to bring things like that forward, you see. So these are situations. That's one reason why, like Ms. Cheryl said, we have to constantly talk. And character means a lot, like Dee said. Character means a lot about you. You want to put yourself and start carrying yourself in a position with character where you won't put yourself in a position like that. Particularly, you, if you have good character, you're going to know the type of young lady that you're looking to date and you're looking to see. So it'd be a different young lady than the one that you know that would probably tag you, you know, and everything. And for what reason? just to say that, she wouldn't have nothing to gain, you see. So all these people are coming out, and I'm so glad because it's coming out on these movie stars level where they have made it in their career and they are untouchable. Those are the ones that start seeking out and start standing up. Now, just recently here in my state, it's these three ladies have come out because of what have happened to them on the Capitol at work, in the workplace. It's it just like Mr. Tiller said, hey, it's coming. I mean, it's the show and tell time. And I'm so glad. And speaking of Anita Hill, she wasn't dating him, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's get that straight. So I know for a true fact that she was innocent.
They had a social relationship.
No, that's not true. And they just brought her on MSNBC, and they were so thankful, and they made the speech that it was happening then, and they pointed to her case, how power, the judge, you know, Supreme Court judge, how that power just overlooked her the way, but you see she kept her character, and she taught at these universities, and boom, the root has come to rest. And she said, and I was trying to bring that to the forefront years ago when it happened to me. But you looked at her and you saw that she was a black woman, so that's the way you did her. But now it's a whole new ball game. So let's get that straight about Miss Anita Hill. Don't do a sister like that.
Joyce, I have to differ with you on the truth as it was told. There was some dating going between them, and she followed him from one job she could have kept to another job. When he got a higher position, she went with him to that higher position to continue to work underneath him. So she could have stayed where she was if he was such a horrible person.
You got your idea what you thought about what Mrs. Hill was all about, and I definitely got mine, what I think about what Mrs. Hill is about. And the way that I think and see Mrs. Hill is about what all these thousands of other people are that has tuned in, and they have brought her to the forefront again. So it's a whole new ball game. Clarence Williams,
okay. Come,
are you kidding me?
That's common practice in the business world. That's common practice. If you are a team and you work together and you guys know your ins and outs, if one person moves to a higher position or to a different company, you take your team with you. And a team can be a team of two if that's the case. So just because she moved from one position or job to another because she did, it doesn't mean that they was having a relationship. And even if they were, if indeed it came to a point that she said no, it meant no.
Right.
And in this case, yeah, now you're seeing it and we all talking about it because all these white women coming up with Anita, you're exactly right. It happened to her, but yet we bag back and pull back. It's not right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're trying to focus on the women being right out there. Let me tell you, we have a lot of other issues that's at hand that we need to look at item by item.
Well, listen, I'm suggesting to you.
I'm suggesting to you, just like you
surmised where she was right, I'm saying to you, I could go from the point that if he was such an awful man to work for and he was sexually harassing you so much, why didn't you stay at the job where you could have stayed and been rid of him? You didn't have to follow him to that next job. So therefore,
because
you following him to that next job leads me to believe you felt comfortable with him.
Hey, and that's how they want you to think, James. That's how they want you to think. But let's look at this for just a moment. It's similar to domestic violence, for you say. You may often ask the question, well, why won't you just leave? Why won't you just leave? It's that mental state that you don't know what's all going on there that has a lot to do with it. We have to be reminded that we as women are designed emotionally, and it's not that it's a negative, because emotional intelligence is the key to it all. But you have to understand that, James, I don't know if you will ever understand why a woman would do something at the time that she would. And any of us, male or female, I would venture to say, at any given point, depending on the scenario, you'll make a decision. and then later on you'll do something completely different. All of us have that ability to make a decision, gain additional information, and gain strength and courage. And again, I'm sure she may have wanted to be aware of the stability of her livelihood for herself.
And then you don't know whether or not if she didn't go, how he would try to run her if she didn't go along with him to up that ladder with him. That's your power again.
James.
That's your power.
James, you're in trouble.
Now, see, they forgetting all these things. Way after they stopped dealing with each other, she went and picked him up at the airport years later when they wasn't even working for each other. So there was a lot of interaction going between these two that had nothing to do with their job.
And that's fine. It's nothing wrong with going to pick up just because somebody treats you ugly, you don't know what conversation that he promised he wouldn't do this and he wouldn't do that and that type of thing. You don't know that. You don't know that, James.
I don't think they had a sexual relationship.
I'm listening at what happened on MSNBC when they brought her up there on the other night to interview her about this. Her case came to the spotlight now, and the way that
She never wanted to be brought into that. She wanted to make those statements in seclusion. She did not want to be publicized. So how can you believe somebody who don't want to be brought
Oh my Lord.
James, you need some help, brother. James, let me help.
You have no idea.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Okay, I like to just say this. When it comes to the topic that we're talking about, I think that we should keep in a good reminder because you're saying let me get this right. You're saying that, you know, basically the truth, everybody's held accountable for the truth. That's what you're saying, right? Because you're saying, like, if one person lies, what makes a difference? Am I following you on that?
I'm suggesting to you that both parties have a different story and that somehow or another Anita Hill's story is just more believable because she's a woman. I mean, neither one of them had any proof one way or the other, but somehow we've come to believe that Anita Hill is telling the truth.
Well, how do you know now that other people won't come forward now that this has happened, and then they're going to come forward saying that, you know what, that happened to me with Judge Clarence too, but I was afraid, but they let Anita go ahead and take the bite by herself because they know that they was going to get ridiculed. You don't know what else is coming out the pipe on this, because there's a reason why they brought his butt back into the play. And they just brought him back, and they just put him back in the spotlight just the other day on MSNBC. And there got to be a reason, so it ain't over yet. You might see somebody else come up against him, and then they want to apologize for her that she had to go along with it by herself. See, a lot of women, they were scared to do this. You don't know how strong power is. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just on this level of sex. It's on your daily level, on how you deal with on your job. It's how they paint you when you go to court. It's so many things. These kids, they being taken advantage of in schools like that. I remember one time that my son, he was in elementary, and they gave him a F because he said, the teacher said he didn't get his assignment, and I know that was not like my son, but who do you think that I believe? I believed her until the day that we was emptying out the garbage can, and there was his paper where she had given him an A for what she had told me was a D. Uh-oh. So me and my husband had to go up to the school, and I asked him, do you want to handle this or do you want me? Because here we are. We expected you as an adult to treat these young kids right, because they need to fly, and it's our job to teach them how to fly and not clip their wings. And she was trying to clip his wings. My son was the only one black in that classroom, but she was an older teacher, white teacher from the old school. So I know what her head was and what she was all about. But here I am. I would believe her. And my son kept telling me, I did it, Mom, I did. And I just couldn't believe it, neither me or my husband. That's how the system does. So, yes, it's possible. This is what we're dealing with day in and day out in everyday living. But now these young ladies, like you said, that people coming out of the woodwork, once they exposed, we got in the same way. Look, when white folks talk, sometimes people pay attention. Think about it. You remember when all this drugs and people getting hooked? Guess who getting all hooked up now? And guess what? Now they want to do laws. They want to open up all these clinics and the whole bit.
Yes.
This is what we're facing with. It's the same thing, different vibes. Think about it.
And James, can you share with me anyone that you know that want to go in the public with something that they're ashamed of and disrespected and just disgusted? And who want to go in public and go out and have that exposed like that? Can you share that with me?
Andre, all during the civil rights we've gone through and shown that you have to be strong at some point. Somebody has to be the first one to do it. This is not, women have been suing for sexual harassment for years now. Just because this is public now, we've been dealing with sexual harassment at corporations for the longest. It's just been these big time boys getting blamed for it now, but you know yourself,
Blaine,
that women have been going to court.
James, you need to do a commercial, James.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna go to a commercial. We'll come back and get the final word, because we don't win the whole show. So let me go back and everybody have their final say.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me wanna move. It makes me wanna have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna
this evening? Very good topic. Got into a lot of different conversations over it. The truth will definitely come out. And again, I say that, you know, we can't judge one case based upon another case. And the person's character and motive, you know, talks about incredibility, says a lot about, you know, each person. So it will come out. So we'll know soon if found guilty or innocent.
Dee, your final thought for this evening?
Yeah, my final thought is, you know, we do have to take these cases on a case-by-case basis. To the young man credit that called the new caller, there are a lot of times that that people will put themselves in a position to be played by the other sex. Both men and women, they do use their positioning as power. And on a case-by-case basis, everything has to be taken into account. Even like in the R. Kelly case, you know, it's no reason in the world why he still should be allowed to make music after he took advantage of that young girl, even though she looked like a willing participant. She was used and abused. So that's my final thought. Thanks.
All right. I have another number that I'm not familiar with, and I want to give you an opportunity to make a statement. 4330, give me your name and where you're calling from. 4330.
This is Pastor Smith, James.
Oh, Pastor Smith, I tell you what. I don't know why I'm having so much. You be switching up on me, Pastor Smith.
I just chimed in, so I really don't know that much about what you're talking about. But I think you're basically, from what I can gather, is you're talking about sexual abuse by the powerful.
Right. We're just talking about where some people have suggested that women's word, we should give them the benefit of the doubt, just because it's rare for women to come out and lie. But I'm just concerned about us giving one gender a kind of pass as though that they're always telling the truth versus the other. And I wish you were here earlier because we really needed your assistance. But go ahead and just share with us what your thought is about just believing one gender over the other just because of their gender.
Well, that's a wrong path to go down, period, anyway. You should not just believe one gender over another gender just because they said something or did something. All of the things that are going on need to be investigated before you make any kind of call or judgment. Because if you don't, you got a lot of people nowadays, especially when I was a cop out there, they get upset with their boyfriend, they get upset with their uncles or aunts or whomever they choose to, and they can lie in a minute. They'll tell a lie and put that person in such jeopardy that it caused them to lose their whole lifestyle, whole life, really. And it shouldn't until it's totally investigated. But the minute that those words are spoken and of saying that I was molested or whatever, that will never go away, no matter what the courts say. We found that it never goes away. It's a stigma that's held on that person. How they can find them innocent 50 times, but several people or some people out there are going to always say, they did it. They just got it wrong. They did it. So it's kind of difficult, and no one should ever just get a pass just because they're of a particular gender. No one.
All right. I'm going to save Joyce for last because I know I'm going to give her a little bit more time just in case she has a little bit more to say. Tyrone, what is your final thought for today?
Well, I know those are some of the same people who are falsely accused over 1,000 black men. That was about 2 years ago. He put a whole bunch of folk in jail. And Alabama is a strange kind of state. And speaking of another situation real quick, that Mike Tyson situation. I don't believe Mike Tyson raped that woman. I don't believe a woman going to come to your hotel at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what time it was. And she's not prepared to perform. I mean, what are you doing going to a man's room at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and expecting him to just whatever? So anyway, I just say stay tuned because this is a year. It's a year of exposure. And we're going to see and hear things that we never thought we would hear. I don't think this guy is going to be killed, but I think I believe that he's going to step down. So that's my final word.
Are you talking about Roy Moore?
All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Roy Moore is one of the people that we in law enforcement used to call arrogant idiots. So arrogant that he refused. I guarantee you, he will refuse to step down.
Yes.
It's going to take almost a pry bar to pry him from where he loves the limelight.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be difficult. He don't want to do it. He loves what's going on. Even though he knows he's wrong and what he did was wrong, he loved what's going on. Look at what he did with the Ten Commandments and all these other things defying the Supreme Court. He's not going to just step down. No.
Well, I think
all right, Joyce, what is your final thought for this evening?
And my final thought on that, and you're right about that, he's arrogant, but you know he is guilty, and that's the reason why that all the other congressmen, they know his M.O. And that's why my congressman told him that when you get out, for you to step down and give someone else an opportunity who can do a better job, because they know exactly who he is and what he's all about. And that's why they're all coming up to tell him that don't get into this race, don't get into this mess, because it's messy. Because he's going to get it both. Mississippi, Alabama, all those southern states, that's power of what they do down there. So, this is where it is, and that's where we are. And you're right. It's a reason why they're coming to him, letting them know don't even go there. Because they know exactly who he is and what he's all about.
The chickens are coming home to roost.
Yes, they are.
All right.
Yes.
Again, I want to thank all of you for your continued support. Things got rough in here today, but it's okay for us to take our gloves off every once in a while. And, you know, we don't have to believe the same thing at the same time. And I am not a Clarence Thomas fan, but I just got certain beliefs related to Anita Hill. And that's just where I am. So, Joyce, we're going to be friends. We're just going to agree to disagree on that one.
All right.
Okay.
And I'm going to go get me some facts and come back. So,
My facts are still coming out. They'll be out pretty soon on MSNBC.
That's right. We couldn't help you today, James.
That lady just sticking to that line because she don't told it so long. She believe it. That's all.
No, baby. It's going to come out. Just wait and see on MSNBC and CNN. It's going to come out all right.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say I told you so either.
All right. Well, y'all take care. We'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where your voice can be heard loud and clear.
God bless you, John.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
We already know the answer. Your message for 321-3307-3. 07443-0582.
Tell Papa to give me a call when he get a chance. What are you talking? He talking about some people. He said something about some people came there to visit the museum.
No, they supposed to have an event against the museum to do it, but they were coming here, but they were supposed to be going to a community center. When they found out that it was a community center, they went apart, not here. They gave me the wrong address.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, that's what it was. Okay. Okay, so how is filling up?
Yeah, we're doing okay right now.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.